We've come to serve a risen Lord. He's not dead today. I'm thankful that He's our friend. The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And His name is Jesus. I'm thankful today there's a lot of people hurting. But there's somebody that's right beside you that loves you and that knows exactly what you're going through. Today, if you have your Bibles, take them and go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter 5. It's the book right before 2 Peter, right after the book of James, near the back of your New Testament. 1 Peter 5. We've had some good singing this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jimmy, for singing that for us. I heard it on the radio the other day, too. That'll minister to your heart. I'm thankful He's our friend this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Now, Peter here is writing this epistle, and the first chapter will tell you that he's writing this to these Jews that have been persecuted, and they've been basically thrown out of Jerusalem. And Peter is writing to a people who we can relate to today. It's people that's suffering. It's people that's hurting. It's people that's going through some stuff that they never thought they'd go through. And here, Peter is writing to these people who are suffering at the hands of the government. They're suffering at the hands of evildoers. But here we'll find in verse 5 that these people are also suffering at the hands of their enemy. And his name is the devil today. And let's read beginning in verse number 7 of 1 Peter 5. And I wasn't on plan on reading this verse, but I like verse 7. It says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I'm thankful we've got a God that still cares about what we care about today. But verse 8 and verse 9 is our text for this morning. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And that's all we'll read this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come before You once again this morning. Lord, we thank You so much for being in this place with us. We thank You for coming to church with us. And God, we thank You so much that the Spirit of God's presence is in here this morning. Lord, I thank You for every person that's made their way out today. Lord, we know that I can just see by looking in the faces and looking in the eyes, there are people that are battling this morning. There are people that are struggling this morning. There are people that are down and discouraged this morning. So God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be near to their heart, that You will minister to their heart, that You'll uplift their heart this morning and show them that there's one beside them that's all-powerful, that knows everything that they're going through, and that can be with them wherever they are. So Father, I pray that You'll minister to every heart in here today, God. And I pray that You'll cleanse me of sin and empty me of myself and fill me with Your Spirit today, God. And I pray that the words that we speak today would only be Your words, God. And I pray that it would allow them to fall on good ground today, that it might bring forth fruit and make an impact on our lives today, God. And I pray that You'll just help us to listen to Your voice this morning, that You may speak to our hearts and change us and challenge us and help us this morning. Lord, we thank You so much for all that You've done for us. I pray for every word that's said, it'll glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a black church that was having church on Sunday night. Near the middle of the service, there came a man through the back door, and he was dressed in a devil costume. He began to run through the church and start screaming at everybody, saying, "I'm the devil, I'm the devil." You know what happened? And black people got up and ran out. But there was one man sitting on the front row, and he was a married man. And he had just sat there. He didn't move or anything. And that man walked up to him and said, "I'm the devil. Why ain't you scared of me? Why aren't you running out like everybody else is?" He looks at him and says, "I've been living with the devil for 50 years. You don't scare me." Somebody said amen. You know, this may or it may not come as a surprise to you. But you and I have an enemy today as Christians. And his name is the devil. As soon as we got born again, as soon as we got adopted into God's family, there was somebody that began to hate us more than he hated us before. And his name is the devil. And you know, if we were being honest, when people become Christians, that doesn't mean the fight's over. That means the fight's really just beginning. One of the biggest ploys that our enemy wants to put on us is to make us think that he really is not real. That he's just some figment of our imagination, that he's somebody that certain denominations talk about. He is somebody that wants us to think that he's not real. For if he can get us to think that he's not real, he's got us exactly where he wants us. I want you to think about a football team that's preparing to play their game on Sunday morning or on Sunday afternoon, and that week they don't watch film on that team all week. They think, oh, we can beat them Sunday. We don't have to know their plays. We don't have to know our opposition. We don't have to know anything. You know what's going to happen on Sunday? They're going to get whooped. Why? Because they were not mindful of their opposition. And you know what's happening today? We as Christians as a whole are getting whooped daily by this one whose name is the devil. Because we are not mindful of our opposition. Can I tell you today, you know it as well as I know it, that the devil's real today. All you got to do is turn on the news. Some of this stuff wouldn't be happening without him. You say, well, I can't see him. You'll never see him because he doesn't have a body. The Bible says that he is a spirit just like God is a spirit. But he is a real spirit today and he's seeking to devour us, as verse 8 tells you. You know, if the devil isn't real, then Jesus is a lunatic. Jesus talked to him in Matthew 4 and in Luke chapter number 4. So if the devil's not real, Jesus was crazy. For he talked to him face to face. You know, if the devil's not real, this Bible that you carried with you this morning is fake. It's not real. It makes no sense. And we might as well all go home. Because there ain't no reason to be here. Can I tell you today that the devil is real? Me and you have a real enemy this morning. The Bible calls his name Satan. And the word Satan literally means adversary. That's what I want to preach on this morning, our adversary. And I want you to know that the devil has a lot of names in Scripture. He has a lot of them. And right here in this one verse in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, it gives you a lot of names of the devil. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. And I told you the name Satan literally means adversary. Now today, just for the next few minutes, I want to do just a little bit of teaching. Then we'll move to our 3 points of preaching. All right, so this may or it may not surprise you this morning, but the devil does not live in hell. In fact, the devil's never even visited that place called hell. You say, well, where is he? The Bible tells you right here in verse 8, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's right here on this earth, walking around, seeking to mess with everybody. And this is what Job chapter 1 says. You all know about the book of Job, and this is what happens. It says, there was a day when the sons of God, which is another name for the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. Look what happened. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. So we see right there that Satan is in the earth and he is walking up and down in the earth. But we also see in the book of Job that Satan still has access to God's throne. And you know what he's doing right now? The book of Revelation tells you that he is the accuser of our brethren. And it says he accuses the brethren day and night before the throne of God. And he's doing it constantly right now. So he still has access to God's throne in heaven. But the Bible tells you right there that right now he's walking around on earth seeking whom he may devour. Well, you say, well, how did he get to the earth? And I know a lot of us have heard certain things about the devil. You've heard certain things about how he fell from heaven and all this stuff. But I want you to know what the Bible says about it, because that's the really only information that we have about it. So he's on the earth, but I ask the question, how did he get to the earth? Well, originally, you'll see in these next few verses, and I'll read these to you, that originally he was perfect. Originally he was created. He was a cherubim, which means a special angel. It's a special angel in heaven. And I want you to see what these verses say in Ezekiel 28. This is where you'll find that Ezekiel writes about the devil. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum. You are full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond." And then it says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." So see, he's a created being. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth," which means he's a special angel, "and I have set thee so." Then he says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in you." So people ask, well, if the devil's so bad, then why did God create him? God did not create the devil. God created this angel and then he became the devil when iniquity was found in him. So originally when he created these angels in the original creation in Genesis chapter number 1, we find that the angels also had a free will like you and I have, because they had the ability to choose God or to choose against him. But it says that he was perfect, but it also says that he was created. So he's not like God, he's a created being. But it says then iniquity was found in him. So what was that iniquity? You'll have to go back to Isaiah 14 to find that out. And Isaiah 14 says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" And that Lucifer means son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" And this is his iniquity. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High." In other words, he looked at God and said, "I'm tired of you getting all the worship. I'm tired of you getting all the glory. Look at how beautiful I am. It's time for me to get some glory. It's time for me to get some worship." And look at that. Five times he said, "I will." So what was his iniquity? It was pride, wasn't it? Anytime we say, "I will," and I don't care about anybody else, that's pride coming up. And that's what the devil did. He said, "I will be like the Most High." And the Bible says in 1 Timothy, "Lest being lifted up with pride, you fall into the condemnation of the devil." So the devil was condemned because he was prideful. And right then, that's when God took him and he cast him to the earth. And we find him in Genesis 3 in the form of a serpent. We'll get there in a minute. You say, "Well, I don't really believe that." Well, believe the red words then. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And that's in Luke 10:18. "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven," and he fell to the earth. But I want you to listen to how good the devil was. How subtle he was. I want you to think about all these innumerable angels that God created. They're standing before a thrice holy God. And Lucifer, the devil, comes up and says, "I'm tired of this. I'm going to be like you. I want some worship too." And all these people are standing before the majestic holy God. All the angels. Lucifer was so subtle that he got one third of them to say, "That's fine. We'll go with you. I'm tired of being up here too. I want to give you some worship as well." And you'll find that, I believe it's in Revelation chapter 12. Remember, his name was the Great Dragon? Well, it says this, "Behold, a great dragon, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth." He's not talking about literal stars. He's talking about the angels of heaven. So it says that these one third that followed Lucifer, we now call them fallen angels, or the New Testament calls them demons. They followed him and they cast him to the earth. That's how beautiful, that's how deceiving, and that's how subtle the devil was. Now, I'm no math major, Miss Nan, as you know. But the Bible says that one third of them followed Satan. You know what that means? There are still two thirds that followed God. So I can say the same thing as Elisha said in the Old Testament. There be more with us than there be with them. But I want you to see that today, although he was a created being, although he was subtle, although he was pretty powerful to get all them people to follow, all the angels to follow him, he's not omnipotent like God is. In other words, he doesn't have all power. He can't do whatever he wants. He's under the hand of God. He can only do what God allows him to do. He's not omniscient. He does not know everything. Do you know that the devil does not know what you're thinking right now? The devil cannot know what you're thinking. The only reason he knows what we are and what we're thinking is so often we say it. That's why we be careful the words that we say. Because so often he hears us say it and says, that's their weakness. Go get them. But he's also not omnipresent either, which means the devil can't be in New York and he can't be in Dallas, North Carolina this morning. You say, well, how in the world? You know somebody's getting messed with in New York by the powers of hell. And you know somebody this morning down in North Carolina is being messed with by the powers of hell. So how can that be happening if the devil's not everywhere? Remember, one third fell with him. And that's a lot. And the New Testament will tell you that many people were possessed with demons. I don't have time to get into that today. But the stuff you see happening today can only be explained by demon possession. Nobody can walk in and kill their whole family without being possessed by a demon. But that's who the devil is this morning. He was in heaven. He was created. He was perfect. But then he fell. He sinned. He fell to the earth, and now he's on the earth walking about seeking whom he may devour, as Peter said. But that's who he is. He hates God. He wants to be like God, and he knows he can't be God. So he opposes everything that has to do with God. He hates, you know what? He hates you this morning. He hates every single person that walked in church today. And especially if you're a Christian, he hates you. So he does everything he can to bring us down. That's who he is. And let me get into the 3 points that I have for you this morning. Because he's got strategies against us today. He's got strategies that he uses against us to try and overcome us. And I know that's hard to see, but that's all right. Number one, I want you to see that the devil depresses. The devil depresses. Do you know that when I got saved as a 12-year-old boy, the devil could do nothing to take my salvation? Once my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, there's nothing that he can do to take away my salvation. And he doesn't like that, so what does he do? He tries to take away us enjoying our salvation. You know, if you're saved, the devil cannot get in your body because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit and the devil cannot be in the same place. They cannot inhabit the same place. So you and I as Christians, it's impossible to be possessed by the devil. But you know what it is possible to be? Oppressed by the devil. He gets in our mind. And when I walked up here on Wednesday night to preach, all I had to do was look around the aisles. See, there was a lot of people in here Wednesday that was discouraged, that was down. And there are some people this morning that walked in downright depressed. And that's what the devil's tactic is, to depress you, to discourage you. Because you're saved and he can't take that away, he says, fine, I'll take away their joy so that they hate life, so that they can't stand it. And that's the ploy of the devil this morning. God does not want you to be discouraged. Although we get discouraged. The ploy of the devil is to get into your mind and to my mind to think that God doesn't care about us. To think that there's nothing that God can do. But can I tell you, God cares about you this morning. And God is still all-powerful today. Have you ever woke up at 3 a.m. out of a dead sleep and you start thinking the weirdest thoughts you've ever thought? Maybe I'm the only one. I know better than that. You know what that is? That's that coward. I hope he hears me this morning. He's a coward. He comes to you at your weakest point and says, I'll get them when they're weak. That's why he comes to you laying in the bed and gets you depressed before you even get up out of bed in the morning. And you know, that's why it's essential for you and me to have Scripture in our mind at all times. Because when the devil hears Scripture, he takes off running. He don't care about my words. My words don't scare him. God's words scare him. That's why it is essential every time he comes to you and gets in your mind, getting you think that you're discouraged, getting you think that you're depressed, getting you thinking about all this stuff, you just come back to him and quote Scripture to him. And you just don't think it, you say it right back to him. Sometimes you got to lay in the bed and just start quoting Scripture. Your wife might look at you and say, what in the world's going on over there? But you say, I'm getting the devil out of here. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. He that endures temptation will receive the crown of life. When you quote Scripture back to the devil, he takes off. But be careful because he comes right back. He depresses this morning. He discourages you this morning. And because he cannot get into your body, because he cannot get your salvation, he gets into your mind. And he messes with you and gets you down. The devil, he's a depressor, he's a discourager. But secondly, I want you to see that the devil not only depresses, but the devil deceives, as you know. Revelation 12:9 says this, that he deceiveth the whole world. He's not worried about just deceiving you and me in here. He's worried about deceiving the whole world. And can I say, he's done a pretty good job at it. Especially this country. He's got this country to think that killing thousands of babies is okay every day. That's how good he is. He's deceived the whole world. And the Bible says in Revelation 20, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. I like that verse. He deceived them. Now, you know the first time that he shows up in our Bible is in Genesis chapter number 3. You don't have to turn to that, but let me read it to you. And I want you to see that he shows up in the form of a serpent. He does not show up to Adam and Eve and say, I'm the devil and I'm going to try to get you to disobey God. He never does that. He shows up subtly. He's crafty. He says, I don't want you to think that I am who I am. Because if I can, I can fool you. And he shows up in the form of this beautiful serpent in the Garden of Eden. That shouldn't surprise us, for Paul said that Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. In Genesis 3, what's he doing? He's trying to deceive Adam and Eve, isn't he? Remember, God looks at Adam and Eve and says, this tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, what? You will surely die. Isn't that what he said? Verse 4, where that old serpent, that old devil shows up to the woman. And this is what he says. You won't surely die. You see that? From the beginning of Scripture, the Bible tells us that the devil is a liar. God said you're going to die. And the first thing the devil comes up and says, you ain't going to die. God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like him. He don't want you to eat of it. You're missing out on something. And see, the devil uses the same three tactics every single time he tempts. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and even today, he uses the same three things. And these three things are this. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The pride of life. You say, well, where do you see that? He started talking to Eve, and he looks at the woman, and he says, you can eat it. You'll be all right. You won't die. All he was trying to do was get the woman to look at the tree. If he could get her to look at it and start thinking about it, she was done. And that's why the children's church song says, I think this is how it goes. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I still remember that. And you know what? I know I sang it 20 years ago, but it's true. The devil can get you to look at it and stay looking at it long enough, you'll give in to it. That's what he did with the woman. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. In other words, she looked at it and said, that would be good. That's the lust of the flesh right there. Desiring to feel that. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Look at that. Lust of the eyes. And then look what it says. A tree to be desired to make one wise. The pride of life. In other words, he looked at her and said, it's going to taste good. It looks good. And you're missing out on something. You know what he does with us? The same exact thing. Makes you look at something and say, boy, that looked good. It'll taste good. It'll certainly feel good. And he looks at us and says, everybody else is doing it. You're missing out. And you know what the greatest deception of the devil is? Try it one time. And if you don't like it, you can quit. Try it one time. And if you don't like it, you can quit. That's good. That's a good deception. But you know what that's the equivalent of saying? Somebody come up here and put a boa constrictor around my neck. And I'll say, you go walk away. And when I want to get him off on my own, I'll get him. How dumb is that? Can I tell you that boa constrictor would not get off of me until he gets what he wants, and that's me dead. And if the devil can get on you once and get you to do something once, he says, I got him. Because if you can think that you can do something once and give it up, you've underestimated the power of sin. Sin is powerful. Sin sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. That's how powerful it was. When the devil comes up to us, he says, you can try it once. And if you don't like it, you can stop. Can I tell you, me and a lot of people in here have given into that. And you realize 2 years later, you're still doing it. And you wasn't able to stop it. Some of you might be there today. But Jeremiah, teenagers, when the devil tells you, you can try it once and you can stop, he's lying. The power of sin is a lot stronger than that. If you can try it once and stop, it's not true. He's great at deceiving. He deceives you and me, and he tries to deceive us every single day. He shows us how good it'll feel. He shows us how good it looks. Shows us how we're missing out. Can I say that sin keeps you longer than you wanted to stay and makes you pay more than you ever intended to pay? It's, you know, some people say this. I'll just say this. If sin wasn't fun, nobody would do it. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But once that season's over, you realize it's wrecked your life. So the devil shows you how good it'll feel. The devil shows you how good it looks. And the devil says you're missing out on something. Everybody else is doing it. You can just try it once, and if you don't like it, you can stop. But you know what he doesn't show you? The aftermath. He doesn't show you the aftermath. So not only does Satan depress, deceive, but he also destroys. Can I say, although you and me, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, all of my sins were future compared to the cross. So back then, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross for my sins, all of my sins were forgiven right there. And I thank God for that. Every single one of them. And you know, when we sin, we're forgiven. There's some denominations that teach once you're a Christian, you can't sin anymore. That's hogwash. I still sin every day. But you know what that, even though we're forgiven, you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't take away the consequences of our actions. You know, had the devil walked up to Eve and said, I know that tree looks good. I know that fruit will taste good. But if you eat of it, Eve, soon in a few years, your firstborn son will kill your other son. Soon, all this destruction will come to your life. If you just eat that one fruit, I'll destroy your life. Do you think if the devil would have said that to her, that she'd have said, I'll still eat it? She'd have probably looked at him and said, never mind. I'm not doing that. But you know what the devil does? He dresses up sin. He dresses it up and says it looks good, it'll feel good, but what he doesn't do is show you the consequences of it. I want you to think about it. He does that every single day. On billboards, on TV, in music, he's got this world in his grips. Think about it. Have you ever seen an alcohol commercial on TV to where the man is waking up the next morning with a blistering headache, puking his brains out? Anybody? You know what you do see? A man dressed up in a nice coat. Sophisticated, smart, good looking. Walking into the bar and everybody saying, hey man! He's the coolest guy in town. It shows you that, doesn't it? You know what it doesn't show you? When he goes home next weekend and his marriage is ruined. When he goes home next weekend and his kids hate him because he's a drunk. Can I tell you, I've got somebody in my family right now that grew up in a godly home that never tasted that one bit, and she started social drinking. You know what she is now? An alcoholic. She can't get out of it. That's the devil whispering, saying, just do it once, and when you want to stop, you can stop. But now it's got a grip, because Satan has a grip on this world. The Bible calls him the God of this world. He's got TV in his hands. He's got the internet in his hands. He's got music in his hands. And if you don't think he's got TV in his hands, turn it on and look. What they're trying to do is get this younger generation coming up to see it, all this gay marriage and all this other stuff, to look at it and say, oh, it's normal. Everybody else is doing it. The devil's trying to get them before God can. He's got this world in its grips. And he destroys because of sin. He destroys because of our actions. There's consequences to our sin. And you know, as I said, he devours. He wants to destroy. Jesus said the thief comes not but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Peter said, watch out, because he's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, the devil just doesn't want to come to your home and touch you and then run away. The devil wants to come to your home and not leave until he's wrecked everything. You know what he does after he destroys? He ditches. And he leaves you there to try to fix it. And you know what? Every single person in here this morning that's married, the devil would love nothing more than to wreck your marriage. He hates married people because God instituted it. He hates the church because God instituted it. And he hates the government because God started that too. Can I tell you, if he can get in your home, he can get in the church. And if he can get in the church, he can get in the country. See, our country is the way it is because the church is the way it is. And the church is the way it is because the family is the way it is. And the devil starts out with the family. He starts out with marriages. He says, if I can just get them to do one thing, it'll wreck them. How many married people has the devil walked up to? He says, she'll never find out. He'll never find out. And guess what happens? Somebody finds out. And the devil has wrecked everything. And you know, today, I'm not a parent, so I can only speak from knowledge, not experience. But today, parents have the biggest responsibility they've ever had in this world. Ever. In this entire world, in this time today, parents of children and of teenagers and of kids growing up have the biggest responsibility they've ever had. Why? Because the devil's working overtime to take you out. I want you to think about it. When a flock of wolves wants to go eat, they like sheep, by the way. They love to eat sheep. And when a flock comes together and they see a flock of sheep, they say, well, we want them. But guess what? They cannot get to them unless the shepherd's out of the way. If the shepherd's there, they're not getting to the sheep. But if they can decide that they're going to take out the shepherd, and the shepherd steps to the side and they wreck him, guess what? They got the sheep easy. And for parents, what the devil wants to do for you is to take you out. For if he can take you out, he'll get the kids easy. And every single one of us in here knows that. If he can take you out, he'll get the weaker ones a whole lot easier. If he can get you to stop coming to church, if he can get you to stop reading your Bible, if he can get you to stop doing the will of God in your life, he says, I got them right where I want them. They're not even guarding their children anymore. They're not even guarding their own flock anymore. And he'll get them just like that. You know, today in this church, I would love for this whole section to be filled up with people under 30 years old. I'd love it. Now, I love the people over 30 years old. Don't get me wrong. I told you last week, I love old people. Now, if you're over 30, you ain't old. But you know, there are some in here that's under 30. And we've got to take care of them while they're here. And you know what? The devil's out to get them. And if he can get you out of the way, he says, I got them easy. And today you might be a Christian. You might have trusted Christ as your Savior, but you're looking around at your life saying, the devil's got me in grips. I did something that I wish I'd have never done, and now I can't get out of it. And you wrap that chain around you, and you just feel like you can't get out. Can I say there's a lot of people in here, including me, that's been exactly where you are. Let me say this. You're not powerful enough to break those chains. See, the devil is powerful. He's strong. Can I say I know somebody who's stronger? The devil may have some power, but God has all power. You can't break the chains off yourself. So you got to call on the one who can. If you're a Christian today and you're broken up, if you're entangled in that stuff and you feel like you can't get out, there's somebody who can give you a brand new life. There's somebody who can rip those chains off, and all you got to do is surrender your life to Him. No, it won't be easy, but He'll help you. You say, well, I'm not a Christian today. Can I say the devil is working overtime on you too? You know, the devil knows the Bible more than you and I know it. He knows the Bible more than you and I do, which means he knows the verse in Revelation 20 and verse 10 that says this, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I hope he heard that one. But you know what he'd love nothing more to do? Take you with him. And he's so good at what he does. He gets people to come to church and sit under the sound of the gospel and say, you don't need that. And you know what happens 2 weeks later? They're gone. And he's got them exactly where he wants them, with no way out of that place called hell. Can I say, if you woke up this morning, there's hope. If you woke up this morning, especially if you're here, there's hope. I can't tell who's saved and who's not saved, but the devil would love to deceive you and say, just wait till next week. There may not be a next week. Don't let him deceive you. You know what Jesus said? He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, you come to me, I don't care what you've done, I don't care where you've been, I'll take you into my family. He adopts us into his family every single time. Musicians, you can go ahead and come forth. Don't let the devil deceive you this morning. He wants you to come to Christ. And if you are a Christian and you're wrapped up in chains, surrender your life to him and you'll see just how powerful he is. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that you've made us mindful of our enemy today. And God, I pray that as we go out of this place, we as Christians will be mindful that we have an enemy, and he doesn't want to just touch us and ruin our day, but rather he wants to touch us and ruin our whole life, ruin our testimony for Jesus Christ. So God, I pray that you'll help us to stand on guard. And Peter said, resist him steadfast. And the Bible says, if you'll submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, that he would flee from you. So God, I pray that you'll help us as we go out this week. The devil's fighting, he's depressing, he's discouraging, and he's trying to get us down so that we'll quit on you. God, I pray that you'll keep us strong under your hand. God, help us to rely upon you. Help us to turn to you every single day. Lord, we need you. And I pray for that one that may have walked in here that doesn't know you. I pray today they'll come to know you. Lord, we love you today and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.